Hey, this is Chris Bleck. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
So the number one objective for this next season, as far as player development goes, for Billy Donovan and the Chicago Bulls, has to be Lauri Markkanen, right? He needs 100%. To find a way to get the most out of Lauri Markkanen, who's 23. His contract is up in two seasons. He will be a free agent in the 2021-22 season. So you need, and that's actually one season past now. So this season that ends, he has one more year, his deal is up. You need to get the most out of Lauri Markkanen, right? Like, that's the player on the roster that everyone needs to point to and say, okay, Donovan, this is the guy.
Yeah, I think so, because I think we know what Zach LaVine is, you know? I think Wendell Carter is going to continue to grow. I think Kobe White's going to continue to grow. But I think that the one player that Bulls fans need to see the most out of after a regression from last year, is a return to form and to be better from Lauri Markkanen. Because, you know, there were the reports that he wanted out until they got rid of Gar Forman and they brought in Karnišević and then they brought in Mark Eversley. And then those reports kind of, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll stay and sign an extension. So I think that this is a coaching staff now with Billy Donovan that is going to get the most out of these young players and hopefully add to them. The one guy who you and I have talked about who is got the biggest question mark might be Zach LaVine. They know what Zach LaVine is. Does he fit their future plans? Does he become part of a trade package with that number four pick? What do you do with Zach LaVine heading into this season?
Well, that would only be if there's a major star on the market when we get to the draft.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, I mean, Zach LaVine, here's the Zach LaVine thing. He's 25. He's playing at a good contract right now. He'll make $19.5 next season in 21-22. He'll make $19.5 as well.
But
so he's not a free agent until the 23 offseason.
Like, that's reasons to keep him, but also reasons to get rid of him. That's enticing. To a team that wants Zach LaVine for only $19 million, like, that's enticing.
Right. But obviously, he won't get that new free agent contract until he's, you know, 28. So, like, you have some time here to figure this out with Zach LaVine. But you're right. He's going to be a chip that you can bargain with. Because if you think, like, if AK and Eversley and Donovan all agree, like, yeah, I mean, empty calorie scorer, this is his ceiling, he's going to give you 26 points, but his defense is going to give up 28, so we're always on the losing end with him on the court, I could see them saying, okay, how do we package him in something else so then we get back assets?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and I think that's where you kind of look at how the Nuggets have been built. The Nuggets have been built by taking chances on individuals that have high upside, but they find them at great value spots, right? Nikola Jokic, absolute, nailed that pick, mm-hmm. where it was high impact, but when they found him and they selected him, it was a very low risk, right? They have now done this with Michael Porter Jr., right? They in the last draft, they take Bol Bol, who doesn't play much now in the conference finals, but there's a good chance within the next year or two, he's going to be a player that people are going to be wowed by around the league. I mean, when he was driving up the court, handling it, and then stopping for a three-point shot, all 7 foot of him, it was people were like, their eyes were open mm-hmm. because they didn't see it because he was in the G League all season. So, I mean, like, that's the way the Nuggets were built, is they maximize the opportunity. And also, don't forget, the Nuggets are also the ones, Gary Harris, that was the McDermott trade. The Bulls were obsessed with McDermott, so they had to have him. Ugh. So they made the trade with the Nuggets, and they passed on two good players.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, methodical roster building is what I would describe the way AK has done it with the Denver Nuggets is take advantage of the opportunities in front of you. And if you have the opportunity to select someone who has a high ceiling, but you can get them at a good value, I think that's the way they're going to build this team.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that this is a team where, you know, people look at the Nuggets and people see the success that the Nuggets are having right
now
in the bubble.
It took five years.
I don't know
if I have that much patience in another Bulls rebuild.
I don't think you have another Bulls rebuild.
It took 5 years for them to make
the
playoffs.
You have pieces now, though. You have key pieces. You have Markkanen. You have Wendell Carter. You have Kobe White. You have Zach LaVine. You have key pieces. Now, if an Obi Toppin becomes another piece with that fourth pick, or if you move that fourth pick and maybe Zach LaVine and someone else for another star, that could be part of it as well. I don't think Billy Donovan was taking on a five-year rebuild, right? I think that he looked at this roster and saw a team that can make the playoffs this season, barring injury. You know, we all thought that they would make the playoffs last season, you know, but then everybody got hurt and you had Jim Boylan as your coach, so then you're not making the playoffs. Now, and they got the fourth pick out of it, thankfully. So, but now, I don't think Billy Donovan is coming in for a five-year rebuild. I think he's coming in with a team that's going to make the playoffs this year and be a legit contender in a couple years.
You know what this is to me? Really nice neighborhood, best street in the neighborhood, right? Best street in the town. But there's that one decrepit old house on the block. You drive by it and you're like, man, if I had a few mil sitting around, I'd buy that property. I'd build my dream house from the bottom up, right?
Why are you talking about my apartment?
No, your apartment's nice. But my point is, like, you drive around and you see the old house where someone's lived there for 70 years, right? Mm-hmm. And now, based on prices in 2020, the entire neighborhood is flipped. Every house on the block is a brand new McMansion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the one house left. Like, there are two teams in the NBA that this situation applies to. It's the New York Knicks and the Chicago Bulls. And if you could flip these organizations, they immediately go to the forefront of importance. Like, think about the Eastern Conference right now. The Bucks are important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Travis Wacker, like, listen, you know how the deal. Your team's not important. In the hierarchy of the Eastern Conference, it's the Celtics. It's the 76ers. It's the Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
They're in that conversation with the Miami Heat. Those are teams, and the Toronto Raptors, as of late, have gotten into that neighborhood. But the Bulls belong there in that conversation. And so I think that's, and based on what Woj's column says, is that AK sold Donovan on this idea that the Bulls franchise is one of the anchor franchises in the NBA. Like, there is no mistake to why that line is in there from Woj. Woj doesn't waste words and waste space in his columns.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In the second paragraph, the final sentences and a chance to lead one of the league's anchor franchises.
Yeah.
That's how people view this. Is it's the fixer-upper on the block with all these nice, beautiful houses, and all you have to do is put, you know, $200K into it, flip it, do the whole reno deal, right?
Or put an AK in it.
What? Alex and Wheeling, you're on ESPN 1000. That was terrible.
No, it wasn't. Alex, did you like that?
I thought that was pretty cheesy, dude. I've heard better from you.
Wow. Listen, Alex, I can only work with what I'm given.
Right.
You know?
That's fair. That's fair. I just want to say, guys, I'm a big fan of the signing. I think one thing I remember hearing from Cap before was that whoever his source was saying that player development on this team was really bad. So as good of a signing as it is to get the head coach, I'm still interested to see who's he going to bring on to the staff, because we know that they need to develop certain guys. Lauri, the biggest one. I don't know if that news has come out about which guys they've had. I don't know if AK brought him on, but that's clearly like the biggest thing is who are you going to get to back up Donovan on his staff, and how are they going to be able to build the team up? I'm thinking 7th seed next season, and anything above 5th is a standing ovation, in my opinion. So.
Awesome call, Alex.
Thank you. Hang up and listen, yeah.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I think they kept a few assistants.
Yeah, as of right now.
Yeah.
I would imagine that was a part of the conversation with Donovan. Although Donovan has had his own successful head coaching staffs
Yeah.
In Oklahoma City. So I would imagine he's going to get to pick who he wants. There is no new news right now mm-hmm. on who Donovan is bringing with him.
Mm-hmm.
But
they have 4 months.
Well, yeah, they've got time, yeah. right? I know a lot of people really like Roy Rogers, who's on the staff.
Yeah.
Listen, to the point about the source saying that player development needs to take place, I would guess a lot of that has to do with Jim Boylan.
I don't think
that's going to be an issue going forward, but no. obviously the mm-hmm. players who are on the roster, we need to get more out of them. And then the other thought that I had based on the call is in the Eastern Conference, you also have to remember Brooklyn is going to be expected to be much better next year because Kyrie and Kevin Durant are going to be back healthy with that team. So add them to the mix. I know they're a playoff team this year, but it's not like they're going to get bounced. So who's the team that's going to get bounced from the playoff conversation from the East? It's going to be the Magic.
Philly,
can you be better than the 76ers? They're still going to have two players who are better than anyone on your roster.
For now.
And you don't know who their head coach is going to
be. Well, and who knows what they're going to do with those players? Because is Joel Embiid on the market?
Well, I mean, maybe that leads to another conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If someone like Ben Simmons is available, do you package LaVine in something to go after Ben Simmons?
Mm-hmm.
There's flaws in his game. There's
yep.
flaws in Embiid's game. He can only stay healthy for like 65 games a year.
Yep.
And when you get to the playoffs, he seems to be out of shape half of the seasons he plays. So, I mean, there's a lot to go into this, but I feel as if Bulls fans, we now have some hope where we can actually have these conversations.
No, absolutely. I think that, look, playoffs at a minimum next year. Playoffs at a minimum. Because that was the expectation this year.
Yeah.
Everyone stays healthy, you make the playoffs.
They should
have. So this year, everybody stays healthy, you make the playoffs. You've got a better coach. You've got a better front office. You're going to add a fourth pick, or you're going to trade that pick for more assets and for a better player, maybe, or you're going to get Obi Toppin, who's a scoring machine. So if not, then you have a player as well. So I think 8th seed at a minimum. Like, you're making the playoffs at a minimum. 7th seed's good. Win a first-round matchup, something like that. Like, then we're talking. But, yeah, it's going to take – this isn't something where you flick the light on and it's automatically done. Like many a rebuild, like you talked about.
Reno deals, they take time. 6, 8, 12 months.
Sometimes you get in there and you find out you got to take stuff out. Sometimes you feel like you got termites. Maybe they find out that they don't like Zach LaVine and they move on from him.
Listen, I watch all those shows.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They're all good, except for the one with what's his name? Tarik and Christine?
Well, what do they do now?
But they've broken up, though. They have two separate shows.
But they also work together still.
And they've got the kid together.
Yeah.
But
his new looks a lot like the old.
Oh, you're telling me.
Like a replica.
I thought it was the same thing.
I was like, oh, what? Okay. You clearly have a type.
The likability on that guy is like zero.
I just know Shiplap. We're done with Shiplap.
Well, We're done with Shiplap. The gains down in Waco, Texas have cornered the market
on
that.
We're done with them. Like Hometown. That's my favorite one. I like that guy.
You would.
I like that guy.
Homie.
I like that. I like Hometown. I want to watch some SEC football with that guy.
I bet you he makes a mean chili.
Oh, dude. His chili? Oh, my God. I can only imagine. There's probably some bison in it or something. It's crazy.
We're going to break down week 2 in the NFL and look ahead to week 3 with Mike Clay from ESPN coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The Bears beat the Giants on Sunday, 17-13. In a barn burner between Trubisky and Daniel Jones.
Stop it.
Lighten it up.
Stop it.
What do you mean, stop it?
I'm
putting the good sell on this.
Don't, no.
Trubisky outplayed Daniel Jones. Come on. Live it up, Chicago. Come on. Looking ahead, though, Sunday against the Falcons, I wonder what's going to happen because the Bears are going to have to put up more than 17 points, I imagine.
Yeah, you would think that against Julio Jones and Ridley that the defense would have a bigger test than what they faced against the Giants after Saquon went out. Because no one even put in Daniel Jones as a factor. It was like, well, stop Saquon, and he got injured, unfortunately, and that sucks. But you know, the defense held its own, except for the 95-yard touchdown drive at the end. That was it.
Yeah, let's talk about week 2, looking back, and looking ahead to week 3 of the NFL with Mike Clay from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Clay NFL. And Mike, what do you make of the Chicago Bears at this point? They're 2-0, but a lot of the conversation in town has been like, it seems like it's an uneasy 2-0 at this point. What do you think of the Bears?
That's kind of funny you say that, because in the offseason I was a little bit low on the Bears, and I heard about it from the Bears fans. I there was a lot of confidence coming in about this.
They're a vocal bunch, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. But look, I mean, they got the job done, and the NFL right now has just been overrun with injuries, and so any way you could squeak out a few wins, you know, you got to do it at this point, right? So they got it done against the division rival, the Lions, on the road. That was important, especially coming back and beating them, because that's the team I thought would finish ahead of them this year, not looking so good right now. And then, I didn't like the fact that it was so close with the Giants at home. That would have been one of their best chances to have a comfortable win this season. But again, they got the W, and that's really all that counts as they make their way toward a playoff berth. So you're right. This is a big test for them going into Atlanta. This is an offense we know is going to throw a lot. They're going to score quite a few points, and Chicago's going to have to keep up with them. So this will be a big test for Mitch Trubisky to see if he can get it done against one of their, well, definitely the toughest team they've played so far.
There's a lot of conversation about the offensive line and the running game right now. They're top 10 in yards per game, even though it's only been two games. What do you think of the adjustments that Matt Nagy has made, you know, with the offensive line and David Montgomery and actually, you know, running the ball?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been impressive, because last season they were the least effective backfield in the NFL. I mean, coming into this season, you could have made the case that they were the least proven and maybe the worst backfield in the league, just because we haven't seen it yet, right? Tariq Cohen, I was one of the most ineffective backs in the NFL last season in terms of rushing and pass-catching efficiency. And, of course, we know David Montgomery didn't do as much as we kind of hoped for as a rookie. But I'm a big fan of him, of Montgomery. I liked him a lot in the pre-draft process last year. I was really disappointed with what happened in his first year, but it seems like they finally have it going in the right direction. They're getting a lot out of Montgomery, and you know, I want to see more Cohen involvement. It seems like they're trying to use Cordarrelle Patterson out of the backfield as much or almost as much as Tariq Cohen, especially this past week. But you know, that could really be a good duo, perhaps trio, that they have there, and obviously we've seen a step forward so far this season.
Mike Clay talking NFL with Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Mike, when we look at the Packers, they're 2-0. They put up 40 points a game so far. Are they the best team in the NFC at this moment?
Oh, man. I don't know if I want to jump that far just yet, but you know, with all the injuries, they might be, right? I mean, everybody's dropping like flies right now. I still think I would lean toward the Seahawks right now, the way they played. You know, they got brought in Jamal Adams. I think that was huge for their defense to go along with guys like Bobby Wagner there. So I'm going to, based on the way they're playing, I think the Seahawks probably have the edge at this point, but they're going to have to improve overall defensively, because they're giving up a ton of points. And coming into the season, I thought the Saints were going to be the best team in the league, honestly. Their roster was just so loaded from top to bottom, and, you know, looked good early on. They took care of a good Buccaneers team in week one, and then you know, week two, they were controlling the Raiders out of the gate. It looked like that was going to be a blowout. Even Michael Thomas, who wasn't playing, was tweeting about it. You know, that was an instant regret from him. It looked like they were going to easily handle the Raiders, and then they blew it. So that's a tough team, you know, to get a feel for right now, and it's really going to come down to how Drew Brees plays going forward. But, you know, that's a long way of saying I think there's a handful of very good teams, whether it's the Seahawks, the Saints, the Packers are obviously in that conversation right now. And even, you know, a team that I think we all underestimated, the Rams, too, I think you could kind of put in that conversation the way they played so far.
In the AFC, we get Chiefs and Ravens on Monday night. That's going to be great game. But how do you think the Ravens, I've been watching Lamar Jackson. He looked great the first game. He had an okay second game. But just on the field and the way he's, you know, making decisions, he looks like he's gotten progressively better from last season to this season. What have you seen from Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, and no question about it. I mean, they only scored two offensive touchdowns against Houston, which was a little bit of a surprise, but the Texans are probably a little bit underrated at this point. You know, the way, obviously, it's really tough opening the season against the Chiefs and Ravens, so you can't really get a good feel for a team. But we did see Jackson light up the Browns in week one, and it seems to be all systems go for that team. I mean, look, the Ravens were already one of the best teams in the NFL last season, and, you know, just torched the league with their offense. And then they got better in the offseason. You know, they added more good players than they lost, including Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe, Patrick Queen defensively. And you've even on the offensive side of the ball, you know, another year into the Mark Andrews experiment, and you know, you've Miles Boykin is playing a much larger role. Marquise Brown in year two, that J.K. Dobbins in the backfield. I mean, you know, he should be playing better. He should be more comfortable. He is an even better team around him, less pressure on him. So as long as he stays upright, that's going to be the key for a guy that runs the ball so much. Just keep him upright, keep him healthy. The Ravens should be maybe the team to beat in the NFL this season. They're really, really playing at a high level on both sides of the football.
How long is Bill O'Brien going to be the head coach for the Texans? Because I'm worried for the Texans in this season, because they face off against the Steelers on the road this weekend. So they're staring 0-3 right in the face. And Deshaun Watson's fantastic, but I have a feeling like this season is not going to go the way that they expected.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting because I felt like Bill O'Brien had a little bit of a bad rap earlier in his time as the head coach of the Texans because, you know, he really had nothing at quarterback, and they were making the playoffs, right? They were both like 9-7 every year making the playoffs. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy, you know, is getting criticized for losing the playoffs, but it seems like he's just constantly getting a bad team in every single year. But now it's like he's had the talent, and then he's making questionable moves in the offseason with the GM hat. And now, you know, obviously they're falling a step behind teams like Tennessee and maybe even the Colts. But, yeah, like I said, they played the Chiefs and Ravens. I'm not going to torch them too much for that. That's as hard as it gets in the NFL. An upset is certainly on the table against Pittsburgh. But I'll tell you what, even if they lose this game, we've seen this before. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. I think they started 0-2 and then won like 12 straight games, something like that. So they have it in them, and they have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And the schedule gets a little. They have Minnesota and Jacksonville the following 2 weeks, and it gets Tennessee, Green Bay. They have the bye, then Jacksonville, Cleveland. You know, they can get back on track, but you would like to see them take a step forward offensively and defensively. Honestly, giving up 33 plus points in both of the first two games, and get back on track here against Pittsburgh. But look, when you have a star quarterback, you have a chance, and that's what the Texans have with Deshaun Watson. I'm a big believer. And to be quite honest, guys, I think because of all the hype with Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, that he's kind of a little underrated right now. He's been historically good the past couple of years.
There's been a lot of conversation, especially after the Sunday night game this week here in Chicago, about Cam Newton and whether or not the Bears should have waited and not gotten Nick Foles and signed Cam Newton for a lot less money. What do you think of what the Patriots and Bill Belichick are doing with him to have this success through two games?
Well, I mean, first of all, Mitch Trubisky's done okay out of the gate, right? So, I mean, a nod to him, because I thought when he won that battle with Foles, I thought that was trouble for this whole team, right? I mean, you brought in Foles for a reason, and if he can't beat out Trubisky, that's a problem. Well, you know, he's been okay so far, so at least so far so good. That being said, no question. I mean, they should aim higher, right? If they really wanted a competition for Mitch Trubisky, I think you do aim higher, and I don't think Nick Foles is the answer. I think Cam Newton would have been more legitimate competition and probably would have won that battle based on what he has done now healthy with the New England Patriots. So, I mean, I'll be honest, and I think most objective observers would agree that the Patriots are looking like the team likely to go further this season than the Bears are right now, and the reason is because they found themselves what seems to be a quarterback option for the next year or so. I'm not sure, despite the solid start here for Trubisky, that he's going to be that guy for the entire season. We just haven't seen it yet in his career. It's possible, but I agree. I mean, if I were them, I definitely would have aimed higher at the quarterback position in the offseason, and Cam Newton was one of those guys just sitting there. You know, they were staring at him. They had a chance just like everybody else, and they didn't take the plunge, and I think they may regret it.
Yeah, I feel like Adam and me, at least, we've both pointed that out all offseason, that we wish they would have gone after Cam Newton. Last thing before we let you go, Mike, what's the one storyline that you look at through 2 weeks and you've been pleasantly surprised about and interested in following throughout this season? What's something that sticks out to you through 2 weeks of this NFL season?
Yeah, that's a good question. I may have actually went the Patriots direction. We'll stay in that division, the AFC East, and go with the Bills, Josh Allen. You know, is he for real, right? Because he's leading the NFL in passing yards right now. The Bills, if you adjust for game script, are the pass-heaviest offense in the NFL. So they're not just this conservative, defensive-heavy team anymore. They're relying on the arm of Josh Allen, not just his legs. And so far, he's delivered. Now, look, he's faced the Jets, who we know are in rough shape right now, and he's faced the Dolphins, who are a very young team that are rebuilding defensively. So he's gotten the job done against those teams, but, you know, his completion percentage is way up. His off-target throws are down. He's been a little bit more conservative in order to complete more passes. But, you know, it's really been interesting because if Allen can keep this up and he is one of the next budding superstars in this league, the Bills are going to be a powerhouse, right? We already know they have an elite defense. If Allen is really good, look out for the Buffalo Bills. So, and trust me, that's coming from someone who was low on Allen in the pre-draft process, and honestly, probably a little too low on the Bills the past couple of years. But it's been incredible to watch what he has done so far, and I can't wait to see him against tougher defenses over the next month or so.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
Anytime, fellas.
That's Mike Clay from ESPN. Follow his work on Twitter at MikeClayNFL. Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. We'll continue talking football with you next. Five up and five down. The five best teams in the NFL and the five worst. We talk about it next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hold on, I'm just sending this email.
Do you want me to? Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Louder though.
Welcome in. You can watch us on Twitch.
I should send this email to Zerman and Meller.
/ESPN1000Chicago. We got a bunch of Twitchers in here right now.
I just want to make sure that they know that we spent the entire 4:35 segment talking about Caps Unity Walk earlier
today. My favorite
today.
Part about this is people watching games on mute and listening to us.
That's what you're supposed to do. Didn't we tell people last week?
Yeah.
Turn the games on mute.
Turn Black
and Abdallah on. Let's do it.
Games, turn on Black and Abdallah.
We'll let you know what happens.
Yeah.
Sox and Indians tied at one.
Crochet's throwing straight.
Heat.
100. He hit 102.
I saw. He also hit Jose Ramirez, too, I believe.
Can you imagine what that's got to feel like?
Okay. Email sent. All right. Gotta make sure that the guys have that for the morning. 7 to 10.
So what we're going to do.
Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN.
I'm going to do my best, Black. So after 2 weeks in the NFL season, we got a lot of contenders. We got a lot of pretenders, Chris. So what we're going to do here.
I don't sound like John Gruden.
We got a lot of contenders. We got a lot of pretenders. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to give you our five best teams in the NFL and our five worst teams in the NFL.
And what do we call that?
Best and worst.
Five up and five down.
I didn't know you had a little name for it.
Well, that's how I teased this segment.
But you didn't tell me when you said let's do this segment tonight.
Were you listening to me when we went to break?
No.
5 minutes.
No.
Five up, five down.
No, the clock goes to zero and the
your brain turns off.
I'm looking for tea times.
Five best teams in the NFL, five worst teams in the NFL. What do you want to do first? Should we do the worst teams in the league?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me your 28th team. He has to think about that.
Okay. The Miami Dolphins, Chris. Yeah. Miami Dolphins, Chris. I think we are just biding time until Tua Tagovailoa gets the start. I don't think it'll be this week as they're on Thursday Night Football in a short week, but I do think that the Fitz magic has run out. My 28th team. My 28th team is the Miami Dolphins.
I'm going to give you the Minnesota Vikings.
Ooh.
To this point in the season, how surprising is it how badly they've lost these games? They weren't even in the contest against the Colts. I think at the moment, Kirk Cousins, the Minnesota Vikings, are the 28th worst team in the league.
But would you be surprised if they won the division?
Or at least made
the playoffs. Because the Packers we'll get to the Packers in a second.
I would not, but through 2 weeks, they're 28th on my list. 28th. What do you have at 29?
The Cincinnati Bengals. God awful. Look, I like Joe Burrow a lot.
They've been frisky.
I know. I like Joe Burrow a lot. I just think they need a lot more. There's a reason they got the number one pick in the draft last year. They're garbage. Garbage team.
All right. I liked what I saw against the Browns this week.
I like it too. But
the Bengals don't make my bottom five.
They're in my bottom five. My bottom five right now.
My 29th team, I'll give you the Washington football team. Okay. Listen, they're the only team in the bottom five that has a victory. But I feel as if that victory the Eagles, are the Eagles worse than what we thought they were heading into the season? Their offensive line's a mess. Carson Wentz has looked bad. And then they go to Arizona and they get pummeled by the Cardinals. I think the Washington football team, they're my 29th team.
I said the Eagles weren't going to make the playoffs, so I'm not surprised at this this little slump here from the Eagles. So I'm going to go with the what are we at now? 30?
Yep.
Is it time to admit that we were wrong about the Lions? Or is this just injuries?
No, you can do it if you want to do
They're
that.
In the
by
Lions,
all means.
I know it's injuries. I know that half their secondary is out. I know that they got a missing tackle. I know that that Galladay's not playing. I get it. But right now, losing two games, the way that they've lost games, they've had a lead in both their games that they lost. That's bad. That's a bad football team. Good teams find ways to win those games. Even the Bears didn't score in the second half and still held a lead against the Giants.
Yeah.
The Lions are a bad team.
I'm going to put my 30th team in the league, the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
First year with Matt Rhule, I still trust that he's going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy Bridgewater has been worse than I thought he would be. I thought he would come in and be really good from day one, and they've played two bad games. I have them as the 30th team in the league. Let's go to 31.
Everything you said, but for the Panthers and my 31.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you forget about the Giants? You got the Giants in your bottom five? You didn't put the Giants in your bottom five. I've got the Giants as my 31st team.
The Giants
are awful.
If I might put the Giants in instead of the Dolphins because they've been a little frisky. But
all right.
You know,
okay, all right. So we're at 32. Should we just say it at once? Should we do 1, 2, 3? Because
okay.
I think we're going to say the same team.
Ready?
One, two. Wait. Do we go on three?
No, you go
or
on
the
shoot
beat after.
You go on shoot. One, okay. Two, three. Shoot.
One, two, three. Jets.
Sam Darnold.
Jets, the New York Jets.
No, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, the New York Jets. I think the Jets
are you done with Sam Darnold?
No, I'm not done with Sam Darnold.
You sure?
No. Why would I be done with Sam Darnold?
Because you love him.
So why would I be done
with him? And now he has wronged you.
Yeah, he hasn't wronged me.
All right, the five best teams in the NFL, number five.
It's a terrible team. The Jets are the worst team
in the league. Number five.
Number five, I've got the Steelers.
I've got the Rams.
Okay, I have the Rams 4.
Okay.
I think what the Rams have done to this point has been super impressive. They win on the road, and they're taking care of business. They beat the Cowboys team that I think most people think are pretty good. And this last weekend, I like what the Rams are doing. I think that what we saw last year and everyone selling their stock on McVay and Jared Goff, I think that was a failure. I think you should buy up this stock. I think they're a good team.
I agree with you. I think the Rams have surprised a few people, as we heard from Mike Clay earlier. They're surprising me. I thought that out of the teams in the West that they would be
the worst team.
That
right?
They would be the worst. No, not the worst team. I just thought that they wouldn't make the playoffs this year.
I mean, that's a division where three teams could theoretically make the playoffs.
I know. All right, for me, number four, the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers had the highest quarterback grade through 2 weeks so far in the NFL. Now, they do have some injuries that they're dealing with, but right now they're playing. And to win games, to come back, look, the Bears won a game against the Lions where they had to come all the way back, and it was a great performance. The Packers did the same thing. Good teams find ways to win when they're down like that. Bad teams find ways to lose games like that when they're up that much. So the Packers are my number four team right now.
Packers are a three for me. I mean, the ability to put points on the board, and we've seen Aaron Rodgers limit the turnovers last year. He's rolling that over into this year. Matt LaFleur, a really good head coach, and I think people are sleeping on him. I heard Albert Breer on with Cap and Jay Hood this morning suggesting that maybe people were out on him last year and thinking that maybe this wasn't a team that was as good as they are. I like the Packers at number three in the NFL. Number two and number one, I would imagine, are the same teams. Are they the same order?
Team yet.
Who do you have at three?
I didn't give my three team yet.
Well, who is it?
Seattle.
Oh, the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't.
Give me 30 seconds on Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
Dude, Russell Wilson playing out of his mind right now. I had them at four, and I had Packers at three. But after we talked to Mike Clay, he kind of convinced me that that Russell Wilson and the Seahawks might actually be better than the Packers. So that's the reason I moved them up. I think that it's basically 3A and 3B. Like, we know who the top two teams are in the NFL.
Yeah,
they're going to square off on Monday night.
Yeah, there's a cloud of teams. The Packers, the Rams, the Steelers, the Seahawks. I think you could argue that Cowboys might be in that grouping as well because they lost to one of the teams we're talking about.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a grouping there of teams that are on that secondary plateau. Mm-hmm. And then there's the two teams at the top, the Ravens and the Chiefs. I have the Ravens 2. I have the Chiefs 1.
Flip it.
Okay.
I have the Ravens number 1. I have the Chiefs number 2. It's because of the way they struggled against the Chargers. They won, but the Chargers kind of found a way to take Mahomes out of that game. And they had to win it on a late field goal twice. So I feel like that's the only reason. Like, if they would have beaten the Chargers handily, I probably would still have the Chiefs number one. But because of the way they looked and because of the way that the Ravens handled Houston, that's why I go Ravens 1, Chiefs 2.
Did you see the breaking news from tonight in the dinosaur community? Did you see this? I know you're a big dinosaur fan.
I am. I have not. Where's my text alert?
Well, I'll fill you in next. Dino news next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Cap and Jay Hood.
Big box of beautiful, fresh white peaches.
Oh,
your
wow.
name on it. They're not as good as they once were.
So I went to buy hoodie, a sumo orange
yeah,
yesterday.
One
That's
orange.
All they had left.
One friggin' orange.
Yes.
One orange. I would have brought him nothing instead of one orange.
I didn't know we had to buy hoodie fruit.
Back off,
Sparkles. You better bring him something.
What do you want me to buy you?
Nothing, but if I need subpar peaches, I'll just...
I know,
it.
Right?
It's all sure. What it is. Hoodie, I thought about you. I've got some white peaches, but they're not very good.
Well, stop yelling at me, Danny.
No one's helping you.
Did you miss something?
I'm calling that my unity peaches. We're bringing us together with unity peaches.
The podcast is a click away on the new ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Cindy Lauper.
That's the game we play with Waddle.
I know.
I'm just saying. Letting people know. That's not actually Cindy Lauper. We just say it in his headset.
Yeah.
He comes back. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Thank you to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. Thanks to Mike Clay, who joined the show. If you missed the interview talking football with Mike Clay from ESPN, check out the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. You can download it right there. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, wherever you find your podcast download. Black and Abdallah and also the baseball show. You can download it right there on the ESPN Chicago app. Before we go any farther here on the show, I just want to point out, over the course of the summer, we mentioned many times, and when we were talking non-sports, when we were talking about different issues that have come up on the show here in Chicago, just in life in general, the one thing that I've always pointed to is make sure that people are registered to vote. And today is the day, National Register to Vote Day. So make sure you do so. I feel like it would be hypocritical if we come on the air and we tell people and remind people to register to vote when there's chaos going on in the world, but then we say nothing the day. It's a day where you should make sure everyone is registered to vote. So make sure you do so. You can do it online. You can do it from home. Just make sure that you are registered to vote. I made sure my wife was registered to vote because I was worried that she wasn't. So take advantage of the websites and the tools that you have at your advantage to make sure you are registered, ready to go for the elections.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got, just over a month away until the election. So not only should you register to vote, like Chris said, but there's going to be a lot more than one election taking place
sure.
that day. You know, a lot of, in your town, in your city, a lot of local government is going to be up. So make sure you do your research and, don't just vote for president, essentially, and then just leave the rest blank. Like, it's on you. If you don't like what's going on in your community, it's the only way to change it. You vote. And don't just listen. Every vote counts this. Every vote counts every year, but every vote counts this year.
I just felt like if we come on the air the day after that there were riots downtown
Absolutely.
Or this and the other, and my response then is make sure you registered to vote. I feel like it's something that we should also bring up when things are going well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in society at the moment as they could, as it can be.
Yeah, be informed. I mean, instead of, you know, binging the 25th episode of Sopranos.
Listen, you can binge and register the vote. You can do it all at the same time. You can be watching Black and Abdallah right now on the big screen, but you could also be registering the vote.
It doesn't take long to...
like 10 minutes.
But it doesn't also take long to educate yourself as to what you're voting for.
Yeah,
so do that.
Did you see this news? Big news in the dino community. The dinosaur community. They discovered something today.
Don't do this to me. I'm going to start crying.
Why are you going to cry?
You know this is my favorite movie.
Yeah.
Like, let us sink in. When the doctor says, when he turns the head and you hear him and the doctor's walking with the cane and he says, Welcome to Jurassic Park. I get emotional.
See the dinosaurs down in the...
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I love it.
You see them flying by too. Do you know what the Spinosaurus is?
No, I don't.
Did you see the third Jurassic Park, the new set of Jurassic Parks, the third one?
Yes, I did. Yes,
okay, hold on. I've got a picture of it for you. See that dinosaur on my screen?
It was not good.
See that dinosaur? How would you describe that dinosaur?
It was like a super dinosaur, wasn't it? Yeah. It was a super dinosaur that was engineered to be a weapon.
No, this is a third one.
Yeah.
Spinosaurus.
Isn't that what they auctioned it off, isn't it? And then the rest of them... they escape. A bunch of them escape. And that's going to be the new one, is about them wrangling up all the dinosaurs that escaped.
So a new discovery today, which saw researchers unearth 1,000 dinosaur teeth, has proven beyond a reasonable doubt that the Spinosaurus, the dinosaur made popular by the Jurassic Park movie franchise, was actually a river monster.
Oh.
And not a dinosaur. It was actually a river monster.
Yeah, I didn't... Here's the thing. And I didn't like the Jurassic Park movies when they started to bring up fake dinosaurs. And they started to bring up...
This is new. A new study today.
That's not a dinosaur.
They found the 1,000 teeth of a Spinosaurus.
That's a river monster. That's not a dinosaur.
It's a river monster.
That's
the new study
suggests.
Probably
a direct descendant of the... an ancestor of the crocodile or the alligator.
The what?
Alligator.
Okay.
Or the crocodile.
What about the Loch Ness?
Hmm?
Everyone just ignores the Loch Ness monster. Like it was like a passé.
No, I don't think so.
I think people should still be out there searching for this thing. The serpent of the sea.
Yeah, no. I know.
It's something I worry about at night.
Why? You're not in the water.
No, but I would like for them to find it. Like, that would be cool if tomorrow we had breaking news. They're like, here we go. Loch Ness. Here's the monster. And he's like, hey, my name's Ted. It's like, oh, cool. What have you been doing? I don't know. I've been in the water for a while. Like 70 years. Remember that one photo of me where I just look? That's it. That's all I've got.
I just don't...
You know, I had really good Lakers thoughts that I wanted to get in here, but Lakers Nuggets coming up next right here on ESPN 1000. And we'll be back tomorrow with Waddle and Sylvia, too.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Bird.